More about that later, but first a little bit about binding and loosing. I felt like if I was going to throw out two different options for binding and loosing, I should at least explain what those terms mean. Put simply, binding means forbidding, and loosing means allowing. These were rabbinic terms around the time of Jesus, and there were rabbis around the time of Jesus and after his time who would write their commentaries on the Torah, their explanations of Scripture and what it says and what it means. When they talked about what the Torah allowed and didn't allow, this was called that rabbi's yoke. The yoke is that rabbi's interpretation of Scripture. This is what Jesus is referring to when he says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Jesus' interpretation of Scripture, his yoke, is one that is not overly restrictive, but one that is inspirational and liberating. So twice in Matthew, Jesus says that what you decide is permissible is permissible, and what you decide is prohibited is prohibited. And then in the Gospel of John, who you forgive is forgiven, and who you withhold forgiveness from, it is withheld. And I don't know about you, but that seems like way too much pressure. I'd rather Jesus just give us his lists of what is and isn't allowed, wouldn't you? That would take some pressure off of me, but he doesn't. He doesn't give us a new list of do's and don'ts. Instead, he breathes on us the Holy Spirit and empowers us to do the hard things and to make the hard choices together. The thing of it is, there's a reason that we are left with this open-ended decision-making ability. There is a reason that Christ, after he is risen, passes along that responsibility to us, his disciples. We have the responsibility and the power to make decisions and how we're going to faithfully live as the church in our own time and place. We, in some ways, make the road by walking. And this is not a new thing. It's not the first time that the Bible has suggested that things have to change depending on circumstances. In the 27th chapter of the book of Numbers, hang with me. In the 27th chapter of the book of Numbers, there's a dispute over land ownership. And the daughters of a man named Zelophehad stand before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the chiefs, and the entire community at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And they say, "Our father died in the desert, and he was a faithful member of our community, and yet he had no sons. Why should our father's name be taken away from his clan because he didn't have a son? Give us property among our father's brothers." You see, according to the Mosaic laws of property ownership handed down from God to Moses, land was only passed on to a male heir, and these young unmarried women were about to be left for dead at worst, or at the very least outside of society with no way to grow food or make a living on their own. And their father's possessions and land would be folded into other relatives' families, leaving his daughters with nothing. So bravely and boldly, they come to Moses, the hearer and recorder of the very law against which they make their case. And they say, "This law does not work for us. It needs to be changed. It doesn't work for them. It doesn't take them into account. And so it needs to be loosed and rebound." So now I'll read a little bit, picking up in verse 5. "Immediately Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'The daughters of Zelophehad are right in what they are saying. You shall indeed let them possess an inheritance among their father's brothers and pass the inheritance of their father on to them,' God said. And so by the leading of the Lord, the law of Moses is changed. It's different now. It is reinterpreted and lived faithfully under new and different circumstances. And isn't that what we're called to do? This is binding and loosing. This is forgiving others. This is the work that Jesus calls us to as his disciples. As my Father has sent me, so I send you. And so we are here in South Knoxville in 2024 to live faithfully under new and different circumstances. Forgiving is a certain kind of letting go. And it's the letting go of a wrong or a debt or some injury or injustice that we've experienced. And yet for some reason, for us mortals, it is really difficult for us to forgive. I don't think it comes naturally. I don't think that without God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it would be very easy for us. I think it might be really impossible for us to forgive. But I do think that it happens because it's a gift of the Spirit. It is a gift from God when we are able to recognize the hardening of our hearts towards our neighbors and to choose grace and gratitude when it often feels better in the short term to hold on to our anger and our hurts and our need to be right. Author Anne Lamott, whose words have been a life and a light in my life, in her writing about forgiveness, she puts it this way: Earth is forgiveness school. I believe that's why they brought us here, and then they left us without an owner's manual. And then another book, quoting from a former minister of hers, she writes, "Not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die." It sounds like hyperbole, doesn't it? But the seriousness of her metaphor certainly rings to me with the seriousness at which Jesus takes forgiveness. If we take Jesus seriously, then forgiveness is not an option. It's a spiritual commandment. And why is that? It's because, as Anne Lamott helps us to see, that forgiveness is good for us and good for the world. It is certainly good for us individually to practice forgiveness, to respond with the grace of God, with gratitude and grace to others. But it's not simply just for us individually. It is good for us to do individually, but also at the social level, at the level of community groups and institutions, even policy and procedure, at the level of societal rehabilitation. Without someone somewhere doing some forgiving, then we continually perpetuate the cycles of an eye for an eye ad infinitum. The circle of pain and extraction and subjugation continues. Forgiveness is that important, not only because it's spiritually valuable to me personally, but also because without it, there isn't any healing to be had for the community as a whole, for the city as a whole, for the nation as a whole, for the world that God so loves. Someone has to stop the cycle. And by Christ's life, death, and resurrection, the church has been called to be the first fruits and the forerunner of transformative forgiveness. So friends, when we show grace to others, we not only free ourselves from hardened hearts and burdened living, we free our neighbors, and we do our part to change the patterns of this world. Disciples of Christ, you are changing the world by your life, by who you forgive and who you don't. You are changing the world, whether you know it or not, and your very existence has the ability to affect your loved ones, your neighbors, the planet. Everything that you touch, you change. And everything that you change, changes you. So may we practice the forgiveness that Christ empowers us to enact, knowing that in doing so, we are leaving the world a little better than we found it. Amen.